Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Skeena Resources and the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Skeena is traded on the TSX Venture under the symbol SKE, and for everyone down in the U.S. on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Walter, I have been getting quite a few emails recently over the last, I would say, about month regarding Skeena, asking about some updates on the story and following up on some of the news that has been coming out, especially focused on this SK Creek property. One of the major news releases that I want to get your color on first is this updated pit-constrained resource for SK. Take us through some of the high-level details on how this resource continues to grow.
Yeah, so just before PDAC, we put out the update, which was looking at SK Creek primarily as an open pit project, and we were able to increase the resource from about 1.9 million ounces of an underground resource to almost 4 million ounces as an open pit resource. Now, certainly the grade goes down when you switch from underground to open pit, but we're still averaging a grade of about 4.5 grams per ton with an average depth on the pit of 180 meters and a strip ratio of just over seven to one. So I would argue that there's not another junior mining company in the world that has an open pit deposit of this size and grade. So it is a truly special asset that we've stumbled into at SK Creek.
Now, one aspect of this resource, especially the pit-constrained resource, is that the total indicated gold equivalent ounces is about 2.4 million. Total inferred is about 1.2 million, but the grade is quite different. Indicated 6 grams per ton gold equivalent, while inferred 2.8 grams per ton gold equivalent. As you move towards trying to convert even some of these inferred ounces into indicated, what's the balance going to be trying to keep that grade higher?
We want to move all of it over to indicated so that we're in a position to do a pre-feas or feasibility and include those resources. And I'm glad you brought that point up, because the resource geologist explained to me that the reason the grade is so low or so much lower on the inferred relative to the indicated, as you said, the indicated is 6 grams and the inferred is less than 3 grams. The way they explained it to me is that the drill spacing on the indicated is 10 to 12 meters between drill holes, while the drill spacing on the inferred is 50 to 70 meters between drill holes. And our resource geologist, Kathy Dilworth, explained to me that the further you get from the drill hole, the way they do their math on the calculations is there's a penalty for distance. So the further you are from the hole, you get penalized on the grade. And she believes that as we do the infill drilling, we should see an increase in grade closer to the range of what we already see in the indicated. So if you keep the same amount of tonnage but you increase the grade, that translates into more ounces. So we believe we should be able to add another 1 million ounces to this project when we do the infill drilling.
Okay, that would be a nice development. Again, moving stuff from inferred into indicated. What about that strip ratio you talked about 7 to 1? Are there any improvements that you think you could see here?
Yes. When we did the pit-constrained resource, we default to a 45-degree slope angle. So with geotechnical drilling, we may be able to increase the degree of the slope on the pit walls and reduce that strip ratio.
Okay, let's move on to some of the other questions that I got in. This one deals with Barrick and their back-in right. One of our listeners was looking into this and said that with the resource over 1.5 million ounces, that means that Barrick has 12 months to back in for 51%. To back in, they would need to pay, I believe it's 3 times your exploration cost, plus pay back the $10 million that you need to pay them to actually own the property. I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in the market right now, because Barrick, they are not under this clock yet, because you don't actually own the property from them right now. Can you take us through how this deal is working?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Corey. The back-in right doesn't kick in until we have purchased the property. And the original proposed deal to purchase it was $10 million in cash, plus we have to post an environmental bond which was estimated at $7.7 million. If that environmental bond is higher, then our purchase price decreases correspondingly. So initially, I did not expect that we would find a resource of this size. And initially, we sort of thought, well, let's just go ahead and if we get to 1.5 million or 2 million, let's go ahead and buy it. And we really didn't think there was much possibility Barrick would back in. Given the size of what we've delineated there and the grade and our view that we'll grow this, we don't think it's probably in our interest to go ahead and try to exercise. Instead, we should keep advancing the project, and every dollar we spend increases the tab for Barrick to back in. So we have until December of 2020 to exercise the purchase of the property. And then if Barrick takes, 6 months or 12 months to decide whether they back in, we continue to be able to spend money and increase the tab for Barrick to back in, which is 3 times our cumulative expense, plus they reimburse us for the purchase price, and they reimburse us for 51%. So again, if Barrick comes back in for 51%, they become the operator, but they have to pay us 3 times our cumulative expense.
It's also all about managing dilution too, right? That $10 million is a hefty price tag for a junior to undertake. Plus, as you said, you don't need to force their hand, and Barrick has a lot of stuff that they need to deal with now with these majors consolidating. So in a way, you're not in a rush. You're going to keep on working on this project, but that time clock is at the tail end of next year. So in terms of work, we'd mentioned a little bit of the drilling that will be done. What are the next steps for moving SK forward?
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter amongst investors that Eskay Creek is a challenged project because of the metallurgy. And we've tried to help people understand that the historic mining was concentrated in the mudstone host rock, which does have pockets of deleterious elements. But the majority of the resource that we put out is in the rhyolite host rock. And historically, they mined and milled the rhyolite at site, and it was a clean ore. It did not have the deleterious elements. So we tried to highlight in our press release that 70% of the tonnage that we delineated is in the rhyolite, 70%. When you look at it on an ounces basis, gold equivalent, 65% of the ounces are in the rhyolite. So we try to get people to understand that 65% of this resource should not be considered metallurgically challenging. It's the 35% of the ounces that are in the mudstone that require some innovation in terms of getting the precious metals out of the rock without releasing the mercury or the arsenic or the antimony. We think we have a solution, or at least our metallurgists believe they have a solution to deal with the mudstone. And that test work is underway, and we should have a full metallurgy report out in Q2 that we believe will dispel this sort of hangover on the project.
Okay, so Q2 is when we're waiting for this metallurgy. And discussing that balance, 65% of the resource in terms of ounces, that's in rhyolite. The other 35% looks like it's within the mudstone. Is the option that you're looking to somehow be able to blend these together in a production scenario so that you do still manage to capture a lot of these ounces but somehow limit those deleterious elements?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different options on the table according to the metallurgists. One of which is to blend. The other one that we're investigating is to use a cyanide leach circuit to deal with the mudstone. So we'll just have to wait and see what they come back with in the next 2 months.
Okay. And then after the metallurgy, does that then move you forward into some sort of a PEA type situation?
Exactly. The metallurgy feeds into the PEA, which we are just beginning right now, at least the mining side of the PEA. But we need the metallurgy to work in the processing side. So the timing on the PEA is early Q3, and we will be using Ausenco Engineering as the lead on that effort.
Okay. Now, we have talked about, well, at least we've alluded to the fact that you want to be as least dilutive as possible when moving through exploring. And then also, if you do go about buying out this SK with that $10 million price tag, what about any updates on Snip or on GJ? Any chance of monetizing these or any exploration plans this year?
Yep. We have ongoing discussions. You know, quite frankly, everything we own is for sale at the right price. The Newcrest buying 70% of the Red Chris mine, which is very close to us, is another example of a major mining company coming into the Golden Triangle. Before that, it was Galore Creek with Newmont coming in to fund that project. So it's an exciting place to be. It's gathering momentum. I can tell you at PDAC, we must have met with at least 20 corporate, you know, intermediate to major mining companies that wanted to sign CAs and begin data reviews. It's a one-of-a-kind asset that we have with Eskay Creek, and it's in the right jurisdiction, politically stable place with lots of upside potential to grow it and make it larger. So I think we will have an opportunity to divest some of our assets and use that as a way to raise money to fund Eskay Creek. The other sort of angle that we're investigating is whether or not we could take a loan from a streaming or royalty company that would convert after the back-end right by Barrick expires, so that the streaming company would the loan would convert into a stream or royalty, or it's paid back with funds that come to us if Barrick backs in and pays us three times every dollar we spend. So we're evaluating every option on the table to try to figure out what's the best path to preserve and accelerate the share price.
So one more question just regarding the overall area within the Golden Triangle. PDAC has now ended, and I know a lot of the majors and a lot of the corporates are at that conference. In all fairness, last year was kind of a slow year in the Golden Triangle. Investors didn't exactly rush into stocks quite like they did the year before. But that being said, there was still a lot of work being done in the area. What is some of the insights you can give us in terms of the way corporates, you even said, they're sniffing around your project, but what's their overall attitude to the Golden Triangle?
I think it's getting better and better. And I will say the government of British Columbia has been really helpful. There was one very large mining company that we'd gotten feedback that they were hesitant about British Columbia as a place to invest. And the representatives of the provincial government went and met with that company during PDAC and spent a few hours helping that company understand that, you know, BC wants them to come and will be supportive and is doing things like adding resources and funding to the Department of Mines and Energy to accelerate the permitting process and make it more efficient. So I can tell you, I can't tell you the name of that company, but we met with them the day after the province, and the feedback we got was, wow, we're hearing really good things. And I think it takes a little bit of time to turn improve a reputation. But I think things are all headed the right way for BC.
Okay. Now, just a final comment here. Let's talk about valuation, because the stock is currently traded on the venture about 36 cents. You convert that to the U.S. You guys are sitting right around a $30 million U.S. market cap for one project that is advancing quite quickly. That's SK plus SNP, which was one of the focuses only a couple years ago and still has some very nice exploration potential. Where's the disconnect here? Why has this stock still been under so much pressure in terms of seeing some exploration success but not seeing the share price benefit?
Yeah, I think we're a victim of our own success in terms of raising capital from precious metal-focused mutual funds. Over the last three-plus years, we've raised about $38 million, and the bulk of that came from specialist funds. And unfortunately, there's a broader trend of shifting investors moving their money from actively managed mutual funds that charge, let's say, 2% a year to passively managed ETFs that charge a tenth of that. And the consequence is that when we raise money from these precious metal funds over the last couple of years, when investors redeem, pull their money out of the mutual fund has then is a forced seller of their portfolio. And that's what's happened to us, is we've had lots of forced liquidation over the last 12, 15 months. It's really hurt our stock and made it an incredible, investment opportunity for people who don't own shares yet in Skeena. And to walk back to the idea of valuation, a $30 million U.S. valuation, just if we exclude all our assets except for Eskay Creek, we got 4 million ounces at Eskay Creek at phenomenal grade, very shallow. If you do the math on that, that's basically 30 million U.S. divided by 4 is about $8.50 U.S. per ounce in the ground. And I just point all your listeners to a comparable transaction, which was Goldcorp's purchase of Kaminak. Kaminak had 5 million ounces, and it went for, and that was just resource, right? There were 2 million ounces of reserves, 3 million ounces of resource. So put it together, 5 million ounces divided into a $550 million takeout price. That was over $100 an ounce. So in my mind, Skeena's valuation has only one direction to go, and that's up.
All right. Well, good to hear that you are confident, but I do see why. You guys have been able to advance SK quite nicely, and you still have, again, those other two projects, but the focus very much on SK and clearing up some of those questions that came in just in the last couple weeks. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. And otherwise, Walter, I'm sure we will be chatting again when that metallurgy is released. Walter, have a great rest of your week.
I'll definitely look forward to that. Thanks.